Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. It's useful to get some notebook, paper, and pen to take notes during the show. The next series of shows I'd like to embark upon is All Your Worth, The Ultimate Lifetime Money Plan, which I have spent time on years ago, but which I feel is something we need to revisit in light of the challenges in our economy. The book, All Your Worth, is by Elizabeth Warren, who most of you know about now. She is a senator from Massachusetts, the first female senator from that state. And she has been a very important person in dealing with many debt issues, credit card issues, and issues to help the middle class in particular at the governmental level in the last few years. But before that, as a writer and scholar, a professor at Harvard University. She has a number of books, and All Your Worth was written with her daughter, Amelia Warren Tiagi. What I will follow for the most part is her book, All Your Worth, as the textbook in this series. We ended the last show talking about how debt had swept the land. Unfortunately, for millions of Americans, debt has become a way of life. Owing a bunch of money has become normal in the U.S., right up there with playing baseball in the summer and eating turkey on Thanksgiving. In fact, now more than 80 million Americans owe money on credit cards. And not just a little bit of money. The average family that carries a balance now owes more than 2 months' income on their credit cards. Maybe some of us have heard from Grandma and Grandpa, who told us that back in our day, if you couldn't pay cash, you didn't buy it. And that was pretty much true. Debt just wasn't a routine part of American life the way it is today. A generation or two ago, almost no one carried any debt except for on a home mortgage and maybe a car loan. There were no giant credit card balances, no payday loans, and no home equity loans. In fact, just 45 years ago, the total amount of debt outstanding among all American households was about 1/600th of what it is today. That means that for every dollar your generation owes today, your parents' generation owed less than half a penny. So, how did so many people wind up in the hole? Over the past generation, American families got hit by a 1-2 debt punch. The first punch came when the laws were changed in the late 1970s. When your parents were young, they had to pay cash for what they wanted because there just weren't any credit cards for regular middle-class people. Why not? It's not because everyone was just so prudent that no one would have wanted a credit card. Nor is it that no one had invented the credit card. In fact, credit cards first appeared more than 90 years ago. The real reason that your parents or grandparents didn't lay down a MasterCard every time they wanted a fast food meal was because the laws were different. When your parents were young, interest rates were regulated by law, which meant that credit card companies could make money only if everyone paid them back. In other words, because the companies didn't charge a lot of interest, they needed to screen their customers very carefully to be sure they could repay. But all that changed during the last 35 years. The laws that once limited how much interest a company could charge have gone the way of hoop skirts and high-buttoned shoes. Congress and the Supreme Court quietly took the reins off the credit card industry in the late 1970s, freeing the way for credit card companies to jack up their interest rates and their fees. And the credit card companies learned something new. They could make higher profits from lending to ordinary middle-class people than they ever made from the silk tie crowd. No longer would credit cards be the exclusive domain of the well-to-do. Instead, credit card companies would fight to get into the wallets of every man, woman, and child in America. In fact, Professor Warren says she knows a little boy who celebrated his second birthday by tearing up his first pre-approved credit card offer. His mom had to intervene before he ate the pieces. You may be thinking, why are credit card companies so eager to sign everyone up? Because it turns out that if you don't pay off your balance every month, the bank can make an enormous profit. In fact, credit card debt has become the single most profitable line of business for big banks, until recently with the student loan debt. Banks have found that they can get away with slamming enormous over-the-limit fees, late fees, and interest rates on anyone who gets in trouble. A story that's given is about Josephine. She has done administrative work at the Baptist Church for 15 years. When she first got her credit card with Providian Bank, the introductory rates were low. But when she started falling behind on her bills, the interest rate flew to 29.9%, and the fees and extra charges started piling on. She owed $2,200. She has since made payments of $2,008. So how much does she still owe? With interest and late payments, Providian said she owed more than $2,600. In other words, she paid $2,008 on a balance of $2,200, and it didn't even cover her interest and penalty payments. The additional part was that Providian seemed to think the charges in this situation were fairly standard, nothing unusual. And as a footnote, the court said that if Providian could provide the right documents, it could collect the whole amount from Josephine, even though the charges were more than 100% of what she had borrowed, and in fact had to sue to try to straighten it out. But back to the credit cards. There was a second punch. At the same time that credit card companies started jacking up their rates and sending offers to anyone with a pulse, more Americans found themselves struggling just to make ends meet. Job layoffs started mounting, more people lost their health insurance, medical bills skyrocketed, and the divorce rate pushed upward. As a result, more and more people found themselves looking for a temporary fix to their financial problems. And there was that credit card offer looking just like a life raft to someone who was drowning. But what is the truth about debt? According to the credit card industry, which is huge, and the messages it beams out, which are relentless, is that debt is good. Debt is sophisticated. Debt is cool. Debt can make you a good friend, parent, lover. Debt is your friend when you are in trouble. These are all myths, and it's time to bust them wide open. First, debt is dangerous. Debt is a legal obligation to make payments each and every month, no matter what. No matter what the future holds, debt demands to be satisfied. It's like a big hairy monster that sits in your living room 24 hours a day, chanting, "Feed me, feed me, feed me." When times are good, when you have plenty of food to feed the monster, this may not seem like much of a problem. You work hard, you earn a decent living, so you figure you can make the payments, no big deal. But if the tough times come, that's when you realize just how hungry that monster is. Maybe your hours get cut, maybe the transmission falls out, Maybe you get lost for months on the Interstate Highway Exchange. Your credit card company doesn't care. And I'll come back to this after station identification. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. If you've been struggling with your debts for a long time, you know what we're talking about. If you're new to the debt game, though, then you may be thinking, but credit card advertisements are full of happy people, smiling couples and giggling babies, having those priceless moments. In the world of debt commercials, nothing ever goes wrong. That's because the credit card companies have hired the finest psychologists and the sharpest marketing wizards to achieve just one goal: make people feel good about taking on debt. Credit card companies found that if they want to rake in the profits, they just need to keep on selling. But think about what they sell: debt. A generation ago, it was seen as perfectly normal not to spend money you didn't have. But that is no longer the case. For example, Virginia recently lost her mother. The death was sudden, and she was having a hard time getting over it. Virginia confessed that she cried whenever she saw the credit card commercial where the daughter took her mother on a trip to Ireland. She said, "Why didn't I do that for my mom before she died?" The answer, of course, was that she didn't have the money, and her mother would have been appalled if her daughter had gone into debt to take her on vacation. But the credit card companies won the daughter's heart by persuading her that she should have taken on debt to show her love to her mother. The truth is, the debt peddlers don't want you to think about what happens when something goes wrong. They don't want you to have that moment of doubt when you decide not to spend just a little more. Their only goal is to sneak that monster in your living room in the quiet hope that something will go wrong in your life and they can make the big bucks. It's hard to believe, but that's right. Your credit card company wants something to go wrong in your life. Why? Because that's when they make the most money. That's when the interest piles on, the late fees, and the over-the-limit charges balloon, and the bank racks up big profits from your troubles. If something goes wrong, that monster can eat everything you have. The credit card companies don't want you to know it, but debt is dangerous stuff. And this step will help you slay that beast as fast as you can. And the step we're talking about is to build your future by paying off your past. And of course, not getting more debt. Debt, in fact, steals from your future. Debt doesn't build a future. It's just the opposite. It takes from your future. Debt is nothing more than yesterday's spending taken from tomorrow's income. It is a claim against your future. Money that could have gone for future must-haves or future wants or future savings is forfeited, flushed right down the drain. Every payment on an old debt is money that disappears into yesterday. If you feel stupid for having fallen for the debt game, we're here to tell you that you are not alone. This month, more than 80 million people are carrying a credit card balance. Why? Because they can't pay off their debts. They believe they were safe because they were dealing with reputable companies. They believed in the promise of help. They believed that nothing could go wrong. But what we want to do is to help you shake off what we call your steal from tomorrow debt. Steal from tomorrow debt includes your credit card balance, but it also includes other kinds of debt. What kind of debt are we talking about? Of course, the credit card balances, back payments on regular bills, personal loans, overdue child support payments, old medical bills, loans against retirement accounts, pawn shop loans, payday loans, tax refund anticipation loans, paycheck advances, overdrafts on your checking account, gas card balances, department store charge cards. So there's a lot of steal from tomorrow debt. You may have noticed that this list of steal from tomorrow debt doesn't include all your debts. The debts that are probably your biggest debts, the mortgage, your car loan, and your student loans, are not included with steal from tomorrow debt. Although, unfortunately, the student loan debt is now clearly on the fence. Does that mean that these kinds of loans are somehow good for your future? Well, not exactly. Just like any other debt, you can get in trouble with your mortgage or car loan by borrowing too much or by getting a bad deal. But they have one important distinction from steal from tomorrow debts. You took these loans so you could build toward tomorrow. You use the money to buy something of lasting value, a home, a car, an education. And once the debt is paid, you will still have an asset, something valuable that you will own outright. On the other hand, steal from tomorrow debt doesn't build toward a brighter future. All those credit card bills and IOUs and back payments aren't about building assets and creating wealth. They are about paying for the past. Yesterday's meals, yesterday's car repairs, and yesterday's trip to Bermuda drag down today's balanced money plan. What you bought may be gone, but the debt lingers on. Trying to build your future when you are haunted by steal from tomorrow debt is a little like trying to write a new story on a blackboard that is already crowded with words from a past story. Until you get the old story erased, you can't write a new one. The first step in investing in your future is to erase the past debts. So what we're looking at in this section is helping you get the blackboard ready for the story you want to write. Another point regarding debt, too, is it is outrageously, unbelievably expensive. They say no annual fee, low introductory rate, etc. Those credit card ads leave you with the impression that debt is so cheap, it's almost free. So how expensive is debt, really? Suppose you're expecting a new baby. You buy a beautiful new $4,000 furniture set and layette for the nursery. You put it on your Visa card and never use that credit card to buy another thing. Then you make the minimum payments on your card, month in and month out, never skipping a month and never paying late. Your baby starts walking, you're still making payments. She heads off to kindergarten, you're still making payments. Junior high, high school, still making payments. She heads off to college, earns her degree, gets a job, meets a nice guy, gets married, and you're still making payments. In fact, if you have a typical card, you will end up making payments for, get this, 26 years and paying more than $10,000 for that baby furniture. And of course, that is presuming that your interest rates don't change. If you are lucky, you will have your baby's nursery paid off just in time for your grandbabies to arrive. In short, debt is very, very expensive. Interest, late fees, over-the-limit fees, more interest, it adds up to a lot of money. A whole lot of money. Those low introductory rates are no different than the drug dealer who gives you your first hit for free. The companies want to get you hooked. So here's another good reason to get rid of your debt. It costs too darn much. And I'll come back to this after station identification. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Whenever you are in the cycle of debt, you can take steps that will make it stop. You can work out a plan that will help you sleep easier, spend smarter, and build a brighter future than all those debt-carrying neighbors of yours. Stick with this because it's time to get on the road to debt-free living. The first thing we do is stop the leaks. The first move in getting rid of your debt is to understand exactly why you got into debt in the first place. Think of this as akin to finding the hole in the bottom of your boat so you can plug it up before you sail out. You need to know why you got into debt so that you can make very sure you don't end up taking on new debt and making the problem worse. You may think that understanding your debt is simply a matter of pulling out a few old credit card bills to see what you charged. Not so. In fact, it doesn't really matter what you put on the credit card. If you are carrying a balance on your credit card, then it is because your money is out of balance. You could have spent your cash on clothes and used your credit card for groceries, or you could have done just the opposite, spending your cash on groceries and using your credit card on clothes. It really doesn't matter which specific charges show up on the Visa bill. The same is true if you owe money to your best friend, if you took out a payday loan, or if you owe back payments on your electric bill. What matters is that you are carrying steal from tomorrow debt, which means that your overall spending is out of balance with your income. It's time to figure out what is driving you into debt. So we're going to do a self-test to look for where the leaks are. This is another one of those true and false questionnaires. So get out a pen and some paper. I can barely afford my home or apartment, true or false. Whenever something goes wrong, car repair, minor illness, home repair, I have to put things on the credit card, true or false. Some months, I fall behind on the mortgage, rent, utilities, or car payments, true or false. Even though I hardly ever spend money on stuff I don't need, I always seem to have a balance on my credit card, true or false. By the time I finish paying my basic bills each month, I am totally tapped out, true or false. I worry that I can't keep my home, apartment, or car, true or false. And the last one is, when an emergency comes up, there's nothing I can cut out to cover the new expense, true or false. If you picked true on two or more of those statements, your debt is probably a symptom of a different problem. Your must-haves are too high. For you, it doesn't really matter which charges are on your credit card. The real problem is that you are struggling to pay for your basic necessities, or bare necessities, as they said in the Jungle Book movie. Don't beat yourself up over credit card debt. Get your energy focused elsewhere. If your must-haves are badly out of balance, you have no breathing room in your budget. Whenever something goes wrong, debt is your only means for coping. An unexpected expense, a trip to the dentist, a new set of brakes, all this winds up on the credit card because you are spending so much on your must-haves that there is no money left over for anything else. For you, cutting up your credit cards isn't the most critical move, nor is vowing to use your card only in an emergency. Why? Because when your must-haves are too high, any little thing that goes wrong becomes an emergency, and you don't have any money left over to handle it. So there will always be an emergency to go on the Visa card. But it doesn't have to be that way. If you follow the path laid out in this course and do what it takes to bring your must-haves into balance with your income, then you will have money for emergencies and for fun. Cutting must-have expenses can be hard, but you can't afford not to do it. Those must-haves are driving you into debt, which means they aren't just costing you money today, they are robbing from your future. So get your must-haves under control. That is your first and most important step in getting on the path to debt-free living. You may have missed the section we went over about getting your must-haves into balance, so I highly recommend that you go out and get the book All Your Worth and review it. So as I said, get your must-haves under control. That's your first and most important step in getting on the path to debt-free living. And remember the good news. Once you get those must-have expenses under control, you don't have to struggle with day-to-day spending. You'll have your finances in balance, and you can think about things far more important than money. So let's go then into a different self-test, dealing with a different sort of debt. Another set of true and false questions on statements called legacy debt. I got into debt because of an unforeseen crisis. Example, a job loss, divorce, an accident, a medical problem. True or false? I got into debt when I was young and stupid. True or false? Someone else ran up debts in my name and I'm struggling to pay them off. True or false? I'm still trying to pay off bills from a very different time in my life. True or false? I was a victim of fraud or theft and I'm still trying to recover financially. True or false? I made some mistakes a long time ago and I'm still paying for them. True or false? Most of my debts are old medical bills. True or false? If I could just get my old debts paid off, I'm pretty sure I could stay out of debt forever. True or false? I haven't added any new debt in a long time. True or false? Now, if you chose true two or more times, you have a problem with an old legacy debt. You are generally responsible with your money, but you are still haunted by a crisis or mistake from your past. Maybe you made a bad decision, quitting your steady job to launch a business that didn't work. Or maybe you were just the victim of plain old bad luck, an accident, a spell of unemployment, an ex who emptied your bank account and left you with nothing but the hamster. In either case, it's time to dust yourself off and focus on getting that debt paid off so you can get on with the rest of your life. Take heart, though. By now, you have already figured out what part of your old life didn't work financially, and you are ready to write a new chapter. Pretty soon, you'll be ready to start accumulating some real savings, so you'll be protected from the ups and downs that may come your way. You may have been dealt a bad hand this time around, but as you bring your money into balance, you can get past this and build a strong future. One word of caution, though. If you are still in the middle of a crisis, then you aren't ready to begin paying off yesterday's debts. If you are out of work, if a family member is still sick, or if the problem that got you into trouble is still ongoing, then wait until this crisis has passed before you begin tackling your debts head on. You may have to tread water for a while, or you may even need to take on more debt to keep food on the table until your life straightens out. In that case, we will talk about financial CPR later on. When the crisis passes, you can come back to the points from this section and create your plan to get rid of stealing from tomorrow once and for all. Now, one last self-test called splurge debts, and this is true and false again. If I really, really want something I can't afford, I just put it on a credit card or sign up for a payment plan. True or false? I really don't know how I ended up with so much debt. True or false? If I didn't have a credit card in my pocket, I would probably buy a lot less stuff. True or false? My credit card balance usually goes up at the holidays. True or false? I made a big purchase, vacation, new TV, furniture, for something that I really wanted and I'm still paying it off. True or false? It is harder to say no to someone I care about when I have a credit card in my wallet. True or false? And lastly, sometimes I charge things and then I think later, what could I have been thinking? I didn't need this. True or false? If you check true for two or more of those statements, you have a problem with splurge charging. You struggle to control your spending on wants. And we will continue this in the next show. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt-manageable life.